Welcome to Go Gray Dame on Talk Zone. Dame is a title given to women, the equivalent to knight. This show honors our dames and inspires you to embrace your third act of life. Now, here's the host of Go Gray Dame, Renee Steelman.
It's Thursday, which means it's podcast day for Go Gray Dame, and I have a guest today, which is so nice. A couple weeks ago, before the week before Thanksgiving, Christine, I just did a solo rant, and but it's always so much better when I have a guest. And you just fit the what I'm looking for: strong, independent women who are really pursuing their own gifts and their own talents. And so I am so excited to have you as a guest today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so glad. And I love the ability for people to be flexible as far as the time zones go. You are out on the East Coast and I am kind of in the Southwest. I'm not kind of in the Southwest. But it's working out really well. And I appreciate everyone kind of moving their schedules around to make this happen. So, Christine, I want you to feel very comfortable in sharing all of your life stories. And if there is something that you don't really want to share, I want you to feel comfortable in saying, well, I don't really want to talk about that. But my most important goal and the reason that this whole podcast started was the sisterhood that I found on Instagram, especially during the pandemic, friends that I've made on Instagram, which seems, I know, to another generation, they find that very superficial, they doubt that it could be a good or a sincere friendship. But finding people like you with talents that, and here's the thing about you, Christine, I don't ever remember looking at any of your Instagram posts and feeling like I was being pressured to purchase or set up to go to you for a purchase of any of your, I just could feel that you were sharing. Like, look at this fabulous thing I made. Isn't this jacket fabulous? It was so real. And that's what drew me to you, because there is a huge marketing thing on Instagram where people are constantly selling something. And after a few months, you kind of start scroll. I don't want to buy your skincare. I don't want to buy your vitamins. I don't want to buy your whatever, because it doesn't seem sincere. Where in your case, I just was like, wow, okay, this lady is just saying, hey, look at this great jacket that I made. Isn't it fabulous? If you want more information, here's my, contact me. And so what I want you to do is tell your story, how you started to create or to bring out your creative gifts, and how then now you've made it into a business. So start from the beginning and give me kind of a timeline of where you're at in this part of your life, your season that you're in now.
Okay. So I guess I could classify myself as having a love affair with jewelry since I was a little girl. So that's kind of started when I was little. And I believe I inherited from my mother and my grandmother, both loved jewelry. My mom probably took it to another extreme. And my father loved showering my mother with jewelry. And he would have like fine custom jewelry made for her. And so I think that that's where, I was very much a girly girl. I love fashion. I love anything that's pretty. So, and it's interesting, my original career path after college, I was in tech sales. So I've always been a relationship type of salesperson where I'm a more of a soft sale than a hard sale. And so I started in technology and I did very well. And I ended up leaving my career to raise my children. And so then once my children got into grade school, I became a little like, I had some nervous energy, and I started volunteering for various charities and attending like various charity events. And some of these events had shopping boutiques, and it was interesting at this. And so this was maybe like 15 years ago. And the bold plastic jewelry was in at that point. And
these bubble necklaces. necklaces, all of that.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. You know, and these necklaces are selling for like $300, $400. I'm like, who wants to spend that on plastic? Like, I'm beyond plastic, you know? So I did. So I was really like perplexed by this whole plastic jewelry thing. And I'm like, there has to be another way. There has to be like natural stone jewelry that you can, that's affordable, that you can still wear, but still feel like you're wearing something real versus, you know, I felt almost going like, that's kind of going backwards, you know, like as we become women, at least me, I want to know I'm wearing something real. And so I started researching and I came across some suppliers. And at that time I got into like these bold, like the bold jewelry was really in, and they were all like semi-precious stones set in sterling silver or sterling silver overlay. And I started with, my first event was my mom's night out at my school, and you donate a certain percentage of proceeds back. And then I started shortly thereafter, my youngest son was diagnosed with a rare form of kidney disease when he was a baby. And fortunately, he overcame the odds. And they told us most likely he would not respond to any type of drug therapy and would be in complete kidney failure by the time he was 10. So thankfully, he responded. He's been in remission ever since. And out of gratitude, I wanted to do something to give back, because I was so thankful that my son had recovered. And we started volunteering for an organization that was referred to his doctor, and we did the annual walk. And then I was like, after a few years, I met the director at the walk, and he's like, we'd really like to penetrate the Westchester, the county that I live in. He's like, would you be interested in starting something? He's like, you have full rein to do whatever you want. And I'm like, well, I love fashion. I go, I would love to do like a fashion luncheon. And so I organized this whole luncheon on my own. I brought in various vendors, like a fur vendor, a wholesale fur vendor, like just different accessories. And then I had my jewelry table there, and my whole purpose was to donate all my proceeds back to the charity. So it was a great way for me to give back as well. And, you know, through the years, I'm probably solicited by 10 to 20 different charities a year. I always give. And so it makes me feel good that I have a vehicle that I'm able to give back to charities as well. And then right at that time, the whole beaded jewelry craze started to develop. And, you know, I have not taken one class, nothing. I'm just kind of like self-taught. So I just I bought the supplies, and I just started kind of experimenting with different beads and different colors. And then it just kind of took a vehicle on its own. And now I love to do personalized custom creation, like what I did for you. I've done Mother of the Bride dresses. I've done jewelry for galas or parties. And I love that. I love being able to, like, it was so great. I mean, I have to say yours by far was my most challenging project, but, you know, like, I like to look at your appearance. Like, I went through all your old Instagrams to see like what coloring works for you. What kind of style do you like? And so I really do love the whole creative process.
That's amazing. And let me get the microphone out of the way so I can show. And I did a little reel on Instagram to tell people, but I love, okay. So these are watches that my aunt, my beautiful aunt used to wear. And after she passed away, my cousins and I were all going through her things, and there wasn't anything there weren't any precious jewels. I don't know if she had any, and they had already been given to her daughter. But I know there was some discontent in the family. And so her natural children were not there, but all of her nieces and nieces, not nephews, we were all there. We were going through. So she had some great costume jewelry. And so I was kind of into watches at that time. And so I kept them all, and I've had them in a baggie. And I knew I always wanted to make something. But it's one of those things that everybody's gift of creation shows itself differently. And I look at jewelry, especially custom pieces that have been put together with, like you say, beads or pieces of old jewelry, vintage jewelry, things like that people do. I see those. I love to go to markets, and it never occurs to me, oh, I could make that. I never think that. I'm like, I'm going to buy that because I love it, and I know that there's a gift there that I don't have. So this is just, I know this is just going to be a statement piece. It's so amazing. And And like I said in the thing, the fact that you chose this metal chain, the color of it is so perfect. So I know that there was time and effort put into it. And it's just absolutely amazing. I love it. So that is so interesting. Okay. And you not only do like, you know, bracelets, and I love this little Buddha piece that you sent. You also do clothing. And so also, I find that amazing.
Yes. Yeah, so that just happened on its own. And this is a funny story. I was actually watching the New York City Housewives like 5 years ago, and Dorinda wore this like rhinestone skull blazer. I was like, oh my God, I love that. So I took a picture of it. I still have the picture on my phone. And I was searching and ended up being this super expensive designer. And it was like $1,200. I'm like, you know, I can't afford a $1,200 blazer. So I like went through some of my suppliers, and I was able to find like, you know, the rhinestone applique, and I made my own jacket, and I wore it out in New York City that night. And I had five people stop me and ask me where I got my jacket. And I gave them my business cards, and that's how the whole thing started.
Oh my gosh. I love that story. I love that story. That's the entrepreneurial rags to riches story that everybody wants. Everybody wants that. I don't know. Somebody asked me, next thing I know, you know, that's the story that everybody wants, but you did it. And you did it how many, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes. So, and I have to say, the jacket business I love, because I feel like it's so individual. I've done everything. I have done sports teams. I just started recently because my son just went to Georgia Tech. And I was like going back for parents' weekend. I'm like, God, I should make myself a Georgia Tech jacket. So I made one. I got so many compliments when I was there. And then when I went back, I went to Purdue. So I just went back recently for my a reunion there. And I made this Purdue jacket. And that, so now I'm actually started making like college jean jackets as well. I've done butterflies. I've done tigers, lips, kiss. And I think it's a great way to express yourself. Like when I first became divorced, I was like, I made this one that said, kiss me. I'm like, you know what? I can be a little sassy. I'm single now. And, you know, it was just, I don't know. I just felt like I was a little in the sassy mode. And, but I think it's a great way to personalize, you know, your fashion or be expressive. And, you know, I did one for a woman who was recently engaged. I did a love jean jacket for her. She wanted to do love. And so I just, you know, I think it's just a great way of personal expression. And I do both jean jackets and blazers. And
okay, so if someone, like the jackets that are on your Instagram, mm-hmm. if someone wants to commission something, do they send you the jacket? Like, this is my jean jacket. I want you to put this on the back.
Or do you typically I just source it myself, the jacket, and then I put the whatever embellishment on there. But I have done, like, one of my college girlfriends just sent me two jackets she wanted me to embellish for her.
Yeah, because, you know, people don't understand that jean jackets, as in all regular suit jackets or any kind of piece of clothing, the length of the jacket, the cut of the jacket is very important to your own particular body style. And I have a jean jacket that I have had probably, I think I must have gotten it in the 90s. And if I ever, I mean, we've moved a few times, and if I ever can't find that jacket, it is right there with, I can't find my wedding ring. I mean, that jacket is so, fits my body so perfectly that I have two or three other jackets, but I always go back to that one because the length is just right. And it kind of curves in a little bit. It's not boxy. And there's so many things about it. So that's important that you know, people make that also specific, right? If they say, I want this on a jean jacket, I need one that's not too high. A lot of times,
I have a variation. Like, I have people, like, I have crop ones with fringe, or if someone wants a longer waisted one. And I mean, there's like a whole, like, you know, I interact with the client as well. I send them different versions if they want me to source it. And typically I source a jacket and I give them different options and versions. And I have not had a dissatisfied customer with the jean jacket itself. So
that's so amazing. Well, I'm excited. You don't happen to have any of your things sitting around there, do you?
Actually, I do. I have.
Ooh, I should have warned you ahead of time. I couldn't just carry.
So I have this blazer. I don't know if you can see.
Okay. See, there you go. Yes. Amazing.
And it's done in rhinestones. And actually, I'm doing right now, I'll just turn my computer. I'm working on another Purdue jacket, jean jacket. And then I'm so proud of myself. I just started to learn how to play tennis. So I'm so proud of myself because, you know, I'm 54, and to learn a new sport at, you know, in your 50s is not ideal. Well, it's difficult to say the least. I didn't realize tennis was such a thinking sport. And so I have thoroughly enjoyed learning. And so now I'm kind of into that whole, like, what? I wonder what I could bedazzle, like, tennis-wise. So
I
know.
Okay, now you've got my brain working because I just started pickleball. And it's funny because I wanted to play tennis. And when we moved to Arizona, which is, you know, the golf community, pickleball is really big here because you can play all year round. And so it was very prevalent. All my neighbors were doing it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I really want to play tennis. I feel like tennis is kind of just a classic sport that you can play until you're 105. But finally, my girlfriends talked me into playing pickleball. And I was like, oh, I love this. I think I might want to do this. And now I'm watching YouTube videos on pickleball. But my problem is I'm not quite to the point where I'm practicing for 10 minutes every day against the wall. I'm playing every day with the social group because I don't quite want my schedule to be that regulated. But pickleball, okay, a pickleball jacket, okay. That's it. We will be working together on the next project because it is getting a little chilly in Arizona, which other people will laugh at. It's not normal. We should be a lot cooler than we are right now. We're still in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but the mornings are cool. And so when I see the people over there at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's still a little chilly. It's maybe in the, you know, late 50s, early 60s, you know, maybe. But it heats up really quickly, but some kind of a athletic, Nike jacket with some kind of pickleball stuff.
Okay. I just realized I'm starting to get like chilly in the, cause I'm in a bubble, but still the bubbles are not that heated. And I just bought like this 3/4 zip and I'm going to put that little tennis thing on the back. So,
hey, there we go. It's going to happen. Oh boy. Okay, Christine, this is going to be a problem because I'm going to have you make me a piece that I'm going to wear to pickleball. And then every person on the pickleball court is going to want one. So I'm just warning you ahead of time. Okay. Well, I have so many things I want to talk to you about. You mentioned that you have recently got divorced and also that your children, you know, are now, they're what, 16 and 18? Is that what you said?
Yes.
So they're becoming independent. They've got their own lives, these darn kids. And so I find that story so often in women who chose to put their career on the side to become a full-time mom. And then those darn kids get independent. They get lives of their own. And the moms are like, what? Nobody needs me anymore. What's going on here? Talk a little bit about that transition and what you were feeling. And then you also mentioned that you were kind of like, wait a minute, I'm recently divorced and who am I? So I'm not a full-time mom. I'm not a wife. Who am I? Where is my identity? So talk a little bit about how you've kind of found yourself.
I think that, anyone that goes through divorce or any type of adversity, you have to, well, at least I did. I did a lot of reflection and, you know, I think that there's hurt parties on both ends, regardless who wants the divorce or, you know, and so there is one of my best friends from college is a therapist and she gave me the best piece of advice. And actually now one of the side things that I do is I also counsel women going through divorce to make sure if they have children that you do it amicably. And I have to say, I'm very proud of my ex-husband and I have gone through our divorce very amicably. We've put our kids first. My advice that I was given was to put your failed marriage behind you. The past is the past. Nothing good will come up rehashing the past. You have two children. Today's a new beginning. Focus on making your best possible children or people of your children. And so I went to my ex-husband. I said, this is my plan. I hope that you're on board. I want, you know, I want only happy memories for the boys moving forward. And, you know, I want their teenage years to be the best years. And he's like, I totally agree. And so it was funny because I just ran into someone in my neighborhood because I had reached out to another woman that I heard who went to the divorce. And I said, I really want to talk to you and just, you know, see how you're doing. And she's like, you know, I think it's so great that you reached out to Rebecca. And she's like, you know, you and your husband or your ex-husband have such a great reputation in town. You two have literally are like the model divorcees that you have put your kids first. And she's like, and you know, your boys have really good reputations and it's really nice to see how easy your boys have transitioned through this. Cause teenage years is a difficult time to get divorced. And so I think that, you know, as a mother, we learned this from day one. It's like your time of being selfish is over and, you know, you always put your kids first. And I think so many times, unfortunately, with divorces, and I see this so often, that people get so emotional what they're going through that they become bitter and then they lash out through their kids to their ex-husbands or ex-wives, whatever. And all that's doing is really hurting the children. Where you honestly, nothing is going to solve or nothing is going to be what happened in the past is the past. So I think like I tell everyone, just put the past behind you, move forward, be amicable, think of your kids first, put your kids first. This is not about you. It's not about him. It's about your kids. So it's interesting because once you go through a divorce, you realize you're really never divorced if you have children. So you have to continue communicating. Yeah. And, you know, it's like you have to be like on a friendly basis, be able to communicate and continue to raise your children together. So, but I think too, like, I think it's very good for people, at least for me. I know I did a lot of self-reflection. I knew what was missing in my life and what I wanted out of life. And I just like, I think I went forward, just like, I literally like, honestly, just put it all behind me and just move forward on a positive note. And I want happiness and I want love in my life. And I think that you can't find that until you've put all your baggage behind you and you move forward with an open mind and an open heart and with positivity. And so that's been kind of my whole like path moving forward.
Right. That's interesting. And I love the fact that you took your experience and then immediately turned it into, well, not immediately, but eventually turned it into serving others, which I think is so important. And that your instinct was to reach out to help others find what you had found. Did you find and I don't know whether your therapist may have brought this up or whether you found this on your own. Did you find that the two things, boundaries and resentment, are probably the two things that come across when you, well, in a lot of different situations, especially I feel as a woman, because we are, as you say, kind of instinctively, I don't know how much is put on to us culturally or if we belong to any kind of a fundamental belief system or where it all comes from. I do think some of it is internal and I think there's a reason, but we do have a natural tendency to put our children, put our husbands, put our parents, put mm-hmm. our siblings, put our neighbors, you know, everybody's needs. We feel it. I feel like we feel it. Yes. And so we want to serve these people. And then when you're told that it's okay to serve yourself, to heal yourself or to find what your identity is, to not live in resentment, to be able to healthily set boundaries, you know, with love. Was that something that you had to deal with where even though you and your ex-husband are amicable, there still had to be boundaries so that there wouldn't be resentment? I hear that a lot with people like, well, he's supposed to take him every other weekend, but he always calls on Friday and, you know, it takes two people to get over that. But when you say that you want happiness and you start every day with how can I find that happiness, are those particular things, any part of your self-reflection?
Yes, I think, you know, I knew the only way that I could move forward is that I had to put my marriage behind me, my failed marriage behind me. And like, I could not be
resentful in any way.
Because I think that if you have resentment, you can't move forward. And yeah. I think that the resentment, I've seen so many women resentful and bitter. And you know what? It shines through in their personality. And they talk to me and they wonder why they can't meet a man, or, you know, they're not going out more than one date with someone. And, you know, and it's because of their attitude and their, if you're holding on to luggage and resent, and I've dated men that same thing where they haven't gotten over it, you know, what happened to them in the past. And, you know, I finally told one person, I'm like, you need to put, and this was like 10, you need to put your failed marriage behind you, you're hurt, and just move forward. It's nothing, you're living in the past, move forward, or you're never going to find anyone. Because that negativity you bring to the table, no one wants, like, I know for me, I don't want to be around that. So I think that, you know, it's just, yes, it's unfortunate divorce, you know, happens. And, but I think that if it does happen, then it, you know, it happens for a reason. And, you know, I believe that God puts people on this earth to be happy and be their best selves. And unfortunately, sometimes things change and people grow.
Both men and women, people. God put both men and women. Yes. I know it says men in the Bible, but it meant men and women. Go ahead.
No, and, you know, no one should go through life unhappy or, you know, so that, I think that was my, I knew something was missing in my life. And I know I need love in my life. And I know I need happiness in my life. I'm just a happy person to begin with. And so, and it's interesting, one of my other girlfriends, she divorced before I did. And she said that she was on the fence for a long time. And she finally said to me, she's like, you know, my kids kept asking me or telling me, mommy, why are you so unhappy? And I finally like looked at them and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, you know what? An unhappy mom is not a good mom. And so she goes, that's what prompted me to leave. And, you know, I truly believe like we all need happiness. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately things don't work out. And, you know, like I'm thankful that I'm amicable with my ex. I wish him all the best. And, you know, my whole motto is happy ex, happy life. So, you know, some people don't really get that during the marriage. I mean, that's also very important. Right. But I think also that is the same, you know, motto in divorce. It's just, you know, especially when you have children. I mean, it would be, I think it's so much easier to get divorced if you have no children. But if you're still raising children together, I think it's the only way that you can move forward and raise your kids.
Right, right. Exactly. And I remember hearing that one time years ago, someone said, when you get divorced, if you have children, you're not ever going to be divorced. And it's funny because my parents divorced when I was 7. And my father, I don't have a lot of memories of him in my life anyway. My older brother is 3 years older than I am. And so he has more memories. He'll say to me, do you remember when mom and dad, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, no, I don't remember, you know, that at all. So it wasn't, I don't think it was that big of a deal to me, because in my mind, well, he's never around anyway. So it's me, my mom, and my brother. It was just the three amigos. And my stepfather was such a kind, probably to a fault. He had that typical British stereotypical, I don't like confrontation type personality. And so I found out way, you know, years later that there were so many things that he had to deal with. Like my father every year would claim us on his taxes. And then when my stepfather would claim us on his taxes, then there was always some kind of a, oh, you've been audited. Oh, I have to explain. And then he would have to call my father and say, you don't have custody. You can't claim them on your, you know, that kind of thing. Little things like that, or just little snide comments. I didn't even know that was going on. But I thought, wow, that's amazing that my stepfather was able to completely shut that away. I never knew anything about it. He never said anything negative about my father growing up. And it was so healthy that I thought that everybody was just kumbaya and you know, so exactly what you're saying, that it is really more about the children and the healthy, it can be a healthy experience. I love my stepfather. I'm so glad my mom married this amazing man. So it can be a positive experience, it's for sure. But, oh my gosh. Okay, so talk a little bit about, like, I have a sister-in-law who reminds me a lot of you, where she, you know, you started seeing this jewelry. You're like, I can do that. I think I could do that. And then you figured out how to do it. And that's kind of what she did. You know, she's walking through a festival and she sees a hawk. They had this whole thing with hawking. And she was like, I think I'd like to do that. Now she's a professional hawk. She has her own business. She Wow. does bird abatement. I mean, it's amazing. So I love that message that maybe you don't know what you want to be when you grow up. Maybe, like you were saying, you're not taking jewelry making or any kind of a creative thing as your major in college. In fact, it probably be, well, how would you describe marketing? Would you say that it was a creative or more of a left brain? Or how would you describe what your original, what you thought your business or what your business was for a while, as far as creativity goes?
Well, I think of the originally it started, I don't know where creativity comes from. I know that, it's funny. I would not have thought myself as a creative person prior. Like I wasn't into art. I mean, like I couldn't draw and, I don't know where it came from. And, like I said, I think it's just my love for jewelry and my love for fashion that maybe that's what brought it out. And, I do believe that I do have an eye. I've styled people like just, you know, I was involved with, the American Red Cross and, one of the board members pulled me aside and she's like, I just love your style. You have such a classic look. And she's like, and she was probably in her 70s. And she's like, I just feel like my current stylist is dressing me so old and dowdy. She's like, I want to look like you. Can you like help me, you know, clean up, like, and make me more fashionable? And I'm like, absolutely. It's so funny because I didn't realize she was as tiny as she was because she was wearing all these oversized sweaters. And she wanted
Eileen Fisher is killing everybody. No.
And so I remember shopping with her the first time and I was like, oh my God. I go, look at you. You're tiny. I go, you should be like showing off that. I go, you work out every day. I said, show off. She's like, oh, I don't know if I can wear anything form fitting. I'm like, absolutely. We put her in this beautiful form fitted dress. And I made sure I was there with a tailor to, because I wanted to make sure that it was like properly, like I wanted it sewn on her to basically detail her figure. So I think it's just, and you know, I mean, that's a whole nother story with alterations. I feel, unfortunately, so many women like have beautiful clothes, but half of them are ill-fitted. And so I truly believe that a tailored look is such a classic look and it's a great way to, and you know, it doesn't mean you have to be thin, even tailored clothes on even full-figured women, it looks so much better to have anything tailored to your body versus just, you know, something that is not tailored.
Yeah. That's the curse of off the rack. And I'm with you. I remember going to a convention and the keynote speaker, a very successful businessman, but I could not concentrate on what he was saying because he was short, stout. And so obviously he had purchased a suit that would fit his round, you know, around his stomach. But therefore, the sleeves were, you know, way almost like mid-hand. It was so ill-fitting. And I thought, you don't know what that message is sounding louder than your words. And yet a wonderful message. But I couldn't hear it because the visual was telling me that you're not educated. You don't know. I mean, it's stupid, weird things. But it's I know it sounds so privileged to say you should have your clothes tailored, but I have a lady that I found here in Arizona and you have it done once and it ruins you forever. From that point on,
I have a sewing machine, so I tailor all my own clothes. I literally sew everything on me.
Wow. That's amazing. No, you know what I did? My daughter was living in China for a while. And so she's got that beautiful market. And she goes, come on, mom, I'll take you down to the market. And I picked out the fabric and I just want a plain button down, you know, collared button down pencil skirt. That's all I had. But it was custom made And I think that's what flipped my head right then. It was like, I've never been able to wear a button down because I'm short-waisted. And so they never, you know, like I said, the arms are either too long or the buttons are bulging or it just, I always have to wear a pullover. But I had that made and it was like, oh, I see how this works. Now I am ruined forever. And it's like, once you do it and it makes such a little hem, my daughter and I both have the thing where this shoulder dips down a little bit more. Little things like that. And what people in Europe have it. Why haven't we figured that out over here?
I agree. And you know, like you think like most men, when they go and buy a suit, there's a tailor there on staff to tailor that suit for them, unless, you know, but yeah, it's it's interesting. Like, I think, you know, like, and it's just the same thing with, you know, I'm more of a, you know, when it comes to my personal fashion, I'm more of a solid color. I mean, I 99% of my wardrobe is black, but I do love to accessorize.
Well, that's because you live in New York, right?
I know, I live in New York. So,
yeah.
But, you know, but I'm also showcasing my jewelry. So I'm, you know, I'm more of a blank palette. And then I love to accessorize with my jewelry and I love to accessorize with handbags and shoes. And that's where my pops of color are, where I just, you know, me personally, I just feel more comfortable wearing a solid color.
Right. Right. That's amazing. Okay. So tell me now that you said, what did you say you were 55? How old did you say you are?
Not yet. I'm 54.
Okay. So as you go, as you're kind of creeping closer to that 60 thing that happens, how are you adjusting to aging? You're single, your kids are growing up. How are you handling this? Because I honestly wish I could be one of these people that's like what's her name?
Curtis.
You know, the actor. Yes. Yeah. I wish I could be like that. I will never be like that.
I'm not going to be like that.
No. And I love that. And I think that's a fabulous role model for so many people. But that's not going to be me. And I'm worried about that. But what are you doing? How are you handling this getting older thing?
Oh, so I'm very much into health and wellness as well. So I exercise daily. And I was an athlete as a child. So I've kind of kept that regimen. I think that exercise is so important, regardless of what it is that you do, even if it's just going for a walk every day. I think that exercise is so important. And then, you know, eating healthy. I have noticed and I have seen many of my friends go from their mid to late 40s to their 50s and in that perimenopause phase and gain 30 pounds. And, you know, unfortunately, our bodies are programmed to, you know, stop being attractive once we're done, you know, being able to produce children, and our bodies are meant to store fat. And I actually I love to read on especially health and wellness. And I was experiencing perimenopause symptoms back in my mid to late 40s. And I went to my doctor, I had tests done. She's like, you know, you're still, even though you're still regular, you're probably in that zone and there's nothing I can do for you. Your hormones are like this right now. And I felt awful. It was like, I was irritable. I had gained weight. I was just not feeling myself. And then I came across this amazing book by Dr. Lee, and it's Everything Your Doctor Didn't Tell You About Perimenopause or Menopause. So I read the book and it basically says, if your symptoms are these, then your estrogen is high. If you have these symptoms, your progesterone is high or your testosterone. And then it gave you some solutions. So my estrogen from all this, my symptoms all said that my estrogen was high. And everything I've read is that high estrogen causes all female cancer. So if you're high estrogen, then you're at risk for any female cancer. So I went to a naturopath doctor. And well, this book also said what to do. Like, there's vitamins that you can take to help, you know, like excrete the estrogen. And then it also suggested taking I started doing a natural progesterone cream. And after that, and I did that through a naturopath doctor. And after that, I literally, all my symptoms went away. And so I think one, balancing your hormones is very important. And I tell people, like, I think you should try the natural route first if you can alleviate your symptoms that way. But, you know, I have so many friends that have had breast cancer or ovarian cancer, and it's because of their, you know, they've had high estrogen levels. So I truly believe it's very, not only it protects us from cancer, but it also makes us feel better. And then I'm a total anti-aging junkie too. Like I love to research. I mean, I do a lot of like do it yourselfer. I have the microneedling. I do like all these little, like, you know, peels myself. I mean, you know, like very mild. Right. I have these like these red, radio red frequency, like wands, yes. Like the Therma wand. I use, you know, vitamin C, hyaluronic acid. I'm just trying to be proactive as much as I can to, I think that that's all you know. And yes, I mean, I'm like you, I love that you posted that you got your lips filled. And yeah. So I do Botox and fillers and, but you know, and I think that's also a moderation. Like I want to remain natural. I never want anyone to look at me and say, oh, she looks overfilled or she looks not natural or.
What happened to Madonna? Yeah.
Oh, I know. I didn't even recognize her when I saw her, like the last picture of her.
Yeah.
So, I admit it is a struggle. And, you know, I've definitely noticed that, you know, I've been thin my entire life and probably the last year. I mean, like I gave up, I very rarely eat carbs and sugar. And I feel that, you know, bread is your, you know, bread's going to kill you. You know, it's like, it's just,
Oprah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like the car and one of my, nutritionists I work with said, you know, that like at this point in our lives, like carbs is no one friend, like, you know, like the, you know, bread and pasta and pizza, all that's going to do is put weight on you. So, and it doesn't really do your body anything good. So he's like, instead try to fill up on fruits and vegetables and protein. And, so for the most part, I try to have a very clean diet as well. And, I think that that helps. I think any little thing that you can do proactively helps, especially exercise and diet is probably the two biggest keys, but, I know, yeah. Trust me. I wish I could find the fountain of youth.
I know. And it's, but I think you're absolutely right. And I, when I started exercising, I didn't think in the future. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to start exercising now so that when I'm 70, I'll be able to still climb a flight of stairs or travel or get in on, you know, on a plane. But you know, at that point I just had my fifth baby. So I started exercising to lose the baby weight. But now, because I started then, and I wish I would have been an athlete in high school like you were, because wow, what an advantage. People don't understand. When I see these women that are so, their flexibility is so amazing, and then you find out, not all of them, but you know, they were a gymnast, and they've kept up that flexibility. So there's something about being an athlete that clicks in your head, and very rarely do people just give it up. Yeah. So it does create a habit that can be, you know, so I was in my mid-30s. I was probably 30, close to 32. And so I started running and then I started that, you know, then you go start going to the step classes and all of that stuff. And so I've never stopped doing that. And so you'll hear people say, it's like, well, you know, I'm 65. I guess I should start exercising. And I'm like, okay, good luck with that. You know, it's like, hey, yeah, you should, but it's so much harder unless you've got this routine or muscle memory or what. But I do think that's made a huge difference. And my thing also is your lifestyle. You're obviously very active. What was the sport that you played? Because you just said you were starting tennis. What was your thing?
So I started off originally as a swimmer. I started swimming competitively at age 5, and I swam competitively year round from age 5 to 18. And I probably averaged about 2 to 4 hours a day in the pool. And I was like a high level competitor swimmer. And then in junior high, I started running track. And so I would go to track practice and then go to swim practice afterwards.
Oh my God.
So then my track, going from track, then after, it's interesting. Once I graduated from high school, I was so burned out. I could have walked on to a college team swimming, but I was so burned out. I was done. And unfortunately I have swam very rarely since then. Yeah. But I've kept my running since I graduated from, I'm an avid runner. I probably run, or now I try not to alternate. I either run or power walk. Like, you know, I alternate because, you know, same thing. You don't want to do the same exercise every day because then you don't, right. You lose the benefit of whatever it is, you know, your body retains that memory.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm also a skier. I learned how to ski in my mid 20s and my boys are both competitive skiers. And so I've spent a lot of time up in Vermont and I do, I love to ski. And so now tennis is something that's completely, I had no idea. And I don't know if pickleball is the same way. I had no idea it's such a mental sport. There's so many things that, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who isn't, you know, she's been playing tennis for like the last 40 years. So she doesn't remember what it was like to learn. But like, I was telling her, I'm like, oh my God, there's so much thinking. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, when the ball comes to you, you have to like automatically determine, is it forehand? Is it backhand? And then you have to like, you know, perfect your swing and then your rotation. And she's like, you think about all that? I'm like, I have to think about all that. I'm like, just learning it.
Yes. So. No, that's exactly right. And the more YouTube videos, I probably should stop watching them because it is making me, because everybody, I mean, my coach that I just hired, you know, he says, you just got to do it. You just got to do it. It'll come pretty soon. It'll come naturally. But in the very beginning, first of all, the scoring system is cuckoo. It doesn't make logical sense to me. It's like, I just hit the ball to you. You hit it back and it hit the net. In my brain, you're done. It's my turn. You know, it's like a strike or something. But it's like, no, I get another turn. I'm like, you do? Why do you, you know? Or so there's that. And then there's the idea. I don't know if they do this in tennis, but you stand here for the serve. And then you stand there if your partner is serving. And then you go over here. And then if you start out, you're number one. But if you're over here, you're number two. And then, you know, so there's that, the scoring. And then it's like you say, oh, I have to know where this ball is going. I have to hit this ball. So I have to be scanning the court and deciding where this ball, I'm like, that's a lot of, I just want to ride the thing up to the top of the ski lift and ski my way down and just learn form that way. It's a very mental sport. Totally.
Yeah. But I think that's why I'm so proud of myself learning a new sport that I really have to think about because it's good for your brain. I mean,
yes.
Unfortunately, I'm going through with my mom now suffers from dementia and it is, you know, it's heartbreaking to go through and you know, it's shocking, first of all, to see your mind turned against you. So I'm also now trying to be proactive to protect my mind. I'm taking supplements and then they say like anything new, like learning something new is so good for your brain. And so I think like I'm giving myself a gift, my brain a gift, learning this, you know, and challenging my mind to learn something new.
Right, right. You're exactly right. Well, okay. I need you because you are such an uplifting and you are an inspiration. You truly are. And I think your life is telling your story more than your words are. So if we're going to close this up, and my demographic for this podcast is women that are in the third act of their life, what would be the primary message that you would tell women that are reaching this point where maybe they're now giving themselves permission to say, I'm going to think about me now. I want to explore who I am or I'm not happy and I want to find happiness. Or what are some things that you, what are some encouraging things you would tell women that are reaching this age where they're like, screw it. I'm not doing that anymore. I want to pursue something that says something about me. What would you say?
I think that doing some self-reflecting and, you know, if you're unhappy, then what is it that you're unhappy about? And then addressing that and then what makes you happy? And, right. I think before what makes you happy, you have to address what's making you unhappy. And until you can address that and solve that issue and how you're going to get the unhappiness out of your life and solve whatever it is that's causing it and then just move forward. And that'll be able to open your, and be open-minded and try new things. And, you know, I never thought in a million years that I would take up tennis and nor if you asked me, you know, 20 years ago that I would be a jewelry designer, I'd be like, I know nothing about jewelry design. I know how to wear it. And I know how to buy it. That's it.
There you go. That's it.
I just think, you know, just being open-minded and you're right, putting yourself first and what's important to you. And I think too, like going out and enjoying life, doing things that are enjoyable. And I just realized I met one of my neighbors. She's all about experiences, life experiences. Her and her husband do not exchange gifts, nor do they have children. And they go on these amazing vacations. And her and her family have traveled all over the world. And I'm like, you know what? That's such an amazing thing to do a life experience. And I think that's what I think people should look at now, especially if your kids are, you know, out of the house and you have time and look at like, go, I mean, unfortunately now with COVID, not everything is accessible, but, you know, look right. to see what's out there that you want to do and experience. And, you know, it could be, I mean, there's so many things to do in the United States, you know, it could be anything, you know,
yeah.
and yeah. Going up in a hot air balloon. I mean, I have tons of bucket, like I literally, after I got divorced, I like started to write my bucket list items down. Like I've never been to the Kentucky Derby. I want to do that.
Oh,
yeah. You know, I'm a big F1 Formula One racing fan because I grew up in the
no.
car. My father is in the car business. So I'm a huge car nut. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, I want to go to an F1, you know, I've been to the Indy 500 growing up as a child, but you know, I think like, look out there and see what's out there. What is it that you want to experience? I mean, because one thing I can tell you is that life is short. And so live your life to its fullest because you never know what tomorrow will bring. I noticed that with my mother. She literally was like diagnosed from one week to the next and she went on a rapid decline from there. And you never know what tomorrow will bring. So I think living your life and figuring out just whatever's making you unhappy, figure it out, move it behind you, solve the issue, and then try to find what it is that makes you happy and experience, make, you know, like you did, you discovered pickleball. And, you know, it's, I think that until you try something and then you never know if it's really for you or not.
Right. Exactly. Those are really profound words of inspiration. And it's so true. I think the hardest part is the reflection on what it is that's making us unhappy. But it probably, if we were to really meditate on that and then try to understand, is it a story that we're telling ourselves? Is it a truth? Who said it's the truth? If you can dialogue that whole thing in your brain, and then decide where that's going to go or where that thought or that story is going to take you, that really is probably the basics of starting a new life and starting a new mindset.
And it, you know, and if people are struggling trying to figure that out themselves, I mean, like you said, like there's, you know, then, you know, I'm all for therapy too, getting a therapist or a best friend or, you know, the only way I got through my divorce is I just, for Thanksgiving, I sent her this note and said, you know, thank you so much for being there for me. You have like helped, I mean, you've helped me through this whole transition and surrounding yourself with positive, good, kind people. I mean, that's another one of, you know, I truly believe in that. Like I only want to be surrounded by good, kind, positive people.
I love that. And your Instagram shows that your Instagram is proof that you are following you're not just saying things, you're actually living these truths. And I love that. Well, thank you so much, Christine. I really appreciate this time. And when we get off the air, I have a few things I want to talk to you about.
So, well, thank you so much for having me.
For that perfect jacket to send to you to pick
right.
all of that up. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I want to thank Christine so much for being my guest today and for sharing her inspiration, sharing her gifts and her talents. You need to get on Instagram and see what she does and follow her example to start living your best life. And please just go, Grey Dame. See you next week. Bye-bye.